Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this time tonight. Lord, I do pray that you might bless our time as we go into your word. Lord, I pray that you would direct us, instruct us. Lord, help us to glean from your word that which you would desire for us to have tonight. Lord, help us to shape us, to shape our thinking, Lord, that we might be transformed to the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to Bible tonight, the book of Proverbs. We're back on our Proverbs for some time. We've went a little bit over tonight. I did kind of get into a little bit of preaching during the prayer time, so I'll take a little bit of the credit. But I want our prayer meeting to be always be a prayer meeting. Amen. I don't want us to ever cut prayer short so we could have more preaching. Like, preachers aren't supposed to say that. But all the preaching in the world without the power of God on it is just, it's just not enough. And so I do want us to see some things. And so we're talking about passing on wisdom, and we're going to kind of look in chapter 14. We're going to begin a series of a few things here. It's going to be a series we're going to call The Wise Versus the Foolish. And, of course, you say, isn't that a lot of what the proverb? Yes, but I just thought because we're going to do a few verses here of this, we're going to begin kind of maybe a little series dealing with that. He deals with that. As we start getting a little deeper into the Proverbs, you'll see they're less connected. It's instead of it being more, it just is one thought and then another thought and then another thought. And here how they're related is this comparison, the wise and the foolish. So verse 1, it says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. So number 1, the wise versus the foolish, we're going to be talking about the woman. Okay, the woman. So, what every wise woman does is build her house. This is what the wise woman does. See, and the scripture says there, verse 14, in chapter, verse 1, every wise woman buildeth her house. So what we learn from that, that means that wise women are meant, or that women are meant to be carpenters. They're meant to be carpenters. That's the blank. That is the blank. Okay, number 2 is no. Okay, I wanted to put that in there for us to think about it so we can get this in context. No, to build her house is referring to her family. Okay, to build. So is a wise woman to be a carpenter? No, obviously that's not. Can a woman be a carpenter? I don't know. Whatever, I'm not going to get into that. But what's that? Okay. The point isn't whether, but the point is this. What is this talking about? It's not talking about she's to build her house. Like, so imagine somebody grabbing this and say, you know, I have to build a house. You know, my husband's out of work. I've got to build us a house. You'd think, what's wrong with you? Well, that's what the Bible says. Some people do stuff like that, right? And we'll miss what he's dealing with. And so, B, the wise woman invests in the building of a home. And again, the building of a home is really speaking of her family, okay? The home is, the house is different than the home. The home is her family. So, number 1, her interest, her role, her desire are all centered on building a home. This is the wise woman, what we're talking about here. So, that would certainly involve a desire. It would involve a desire to raise children. Okay? Watch it. Not just to produce children, but to raise them. Okay? Now, you know, people say this, well, you know, women all have this inherent desire to have children. I think that's probably true. I think God is probably, I think God has put that in part of the be fruitful and multiply. God has put that in women. I always said God made, if it was up to men by themselves, guys would just hang out with the fellas. But God's given them a desire to have a wife or to have that. And so otherwise the guys would just hang out with the fellas and go fishing and do stuff with guys and not, you know. But God has put something in them to have that desire, that interest. And so God has also put in the woman that desire to have. But a wise woman is more than just having children, but actually raising that thing. Right? I mean, this is the problem with, I don't want to get off that too much, but this can be one of these problems, what we're seeing in our society at the rate of abortion. They don't desire to have either one. They don't want to have them. And so, can you imagine somebody said, yeah, I want to have children, just not now. I'm going to kill this one. We'll have one later. I want to have one, just not now, so I'm not ready to raise it. I still want to live my life. Right? And this is kind of how some of that goes down. So the book of Proverbs refers to wisdom in the feminine. Wisdom is personified as a woman. We find this throughout the book of Proverbs. He talks about this. Wisdom is personified as a woman. So number one, Proverbs culminates with a mother teaching her son. Let's turn over there. We're going to look around in Proverbs a little bit as we develop this thought that was began there. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 and verse 1. He said, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. We could get in these debates, should women teach men? Well, in the church, there's clear teaching on that. But is there ever a time should a mother teach her children? Undoubtedly. I would say more than should. I think there's a responsibility. I think this is what a wise mother does. He talks about different places. Listen, follow the law of thy mother. And so here we find this teaching of the mother teaching her son. Number two, children will see wisdom first from their mothers. First from their mothers. She's the first face they know, right? She's the first voice that they hear, right? I mean, a child knows the mother's voice before they ever come out of the womb. They know her, right? They know her heartbeat. They know her rhythm. That's why when a mother holds, kids fuss and cry and the mom holds it, all of a sudden the kid hears that heartbeat, hears that what they've I've been living there for about 9 months, right? And so there's something there. There's a relationship. The baby knows the mother's touch, and that's the first where it begins. And so number three, by a mother's daily presence, a child learns what wisdom is to look like. Okay, turn back over to Proverbs in chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1, he says, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. So we find this same, talking about the woman is the same thing we found in chapter 14. Now he's using the same thing, talking about wisdom. So the wise mother leads her children in the ways of wisdom. Chapter 8, we're just back there a few verses. Chapter 8, verse 32. He says, now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Listen, there is the wise woman guides her children in wisdom. Chapter 9, verse 6. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. So what wisdom does, And I feel like I've beat this dead horse so much, but I'm going to say it again because this is what we deal with. Wisdom isn't just to know stuff. It's to do stuff, right? Wisdom isn't just, hey, sit down here, let me tell you the things I know. Wisdom is this, watch me as I live for the Lord. You see, the wise woman doesn't just tell her children what to do. Hey, here's how you really get it right. No, the wise woman lives it and is guiding, and the children are looking. But look here, this here. Number four, the wise woman may not be as loud as the foolish woman. We could also say the wise woman shouldn't be maybe as loud as the foolish woman. Look at chapter 19, verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. So, what the foolish... I have it here. A, under that, we're talking about the wise woman. Her direction and guidance isn't in her volume, but in her life. I don't know if you've ever been, or you ever heard, or you ever been around people that just holler and scream and yell. It's just like, I'm not trying to tell on my mom, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of screaming at my house when I was a kid. And I can just remember thinking, if I ever make it through this, I was a bad kid. I was a bad kid, so I'm not taking any guilt off me. I was a bad kid, but I thought, if I ever make it through this, I'm not gonna do that at my house. I just thought, I don't want it. It was so frustrating. My mom, my sister, just screaming. I'm just like, and we don't do that. We don't do that. We don't holler. We just don't do that. I was talking about this last week, Tuesday. Yesterday, I guess, was talking about when I was a substitute teacher at public school system in Louisiana. We went in there. I'm in there trying to teach these kids. I did kindergarten. Oh. Never do. I did that once. It's like herding cats. But I did up to the elementary school. I think I did junior high. And, you know, I'd be in there trying to get these kids. I said, listen, they're going. And finally, I'm just about to get a handle. And the kids are coming, and I'm kind of getting them there. I said, now we're going to have to. I'm a substitute teacher. I know what you do with a substitute teacher. You know, so I'm trying to get this. And I give them a little bit. All of a sudden, somebody comes in through the door and starts just hollering at these kids, scared the life out of me. I'm just like, okay, whatever you... Oh, you're talking to them? Just scared the life out of me. And they screamed so loud, all those kids stopped. Silent. For like 2 seconds. As soon as she left, it was back to it. I thought, man, that is zero value. But so sometimes, you ever been around somebody that they're so loud and clamorous and just that I don't know if they're right or wrong, but I'm just going to listen because I don't want to keep going on with that. You know what I mean? Just this kind of aggression. You're like, okay, that's what the foolish one. Hey, she didn't know anything, but she knows it really loud. You know what I mean? And you get to like, okay, all right, I'm going to do what you want just because I can't deal with any of this anymore. He said, but that's not the way that the wise woman, she's not like that. It's not her direction and her guidance isn't in her volume, but it's in her life. And then D, it is not just children that a wise woman builds in a home. Number one, the home is built around the husband-wife relationship. Okay, it's more than just the children. There's a husband-wife relationship. The wise woman doesn't just coexist with that fellow there. She builds a home with him. She builds a home for him. Number two, the man is not designed to build a home. That's what I'm saying to you. Now, A, under that, he may construct it, all right? He may construct it, but he is not the home builder. God didn't give the role of building a home to the man. It's not his to do. God has a role, and that's That was the woman's role, to build a home. And listen, the man is really meant to be not that role. He's meant to lead it. But the scripture here in the Proverbs is talking about it's the woman that builds that. A wise woman builds that thing. So if the home is to be built, it'll be done by a wise woman. There's a lot of homes. So here's what happens a lot of times. We kind of get this. Can I say that there's enough blame to pass around? A lot of times, so I hear a lot of times the women get blamed for being the leader of the home, right? Because the man won't do it. But I'll see the women. Yeah, there's women. They just need to submit, right? Well, you got that guy that's over there, like, yeah, okay, honey. No. You know, and so we're blaming the wife. Sometimes, I'm just saying at times, I've heard this a lot, preaching like sometimes like that. The women just need to submit to their husband. The guy's over here, he's lily liver to start with. And so so there's the man needs to take care of his role, right? You understand that? There's a role that God's given us. And when he takes care of his role, then the woman could take, the wife could take care of her role. And this symbiotic relationship is wonderful. So if a house, if the home isn't built, it's not going to be built by dad. Okay? I didn't say dad's not going to lead. Dad's not going to teach. Certainly all those things are true. But the Bible tells us that the woman, the wife, is a wise woman builds her home. Look on under number three. Wisdom is a crown to a man. Look at chapter 4. Wisdom is a crown to a man. Chapter 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And then drop down to verse 9. She, talking about wisdom, shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. So the crown of a man is wisdom. Okay? Now watch here. A wise woman is as well. Look at chapter 12, verse 4. I mean, this is just peppered all throughout the book of Proverbs, this truth. Chapter 12 and verse 4. It says, I was in chapter 14. I'm like, that ain't going to work. Chapter 12 and verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. So we find this, isn't this interesting? We find these parallels between a wife, not just a woman, but he's really referring to a wise woman, how she compares to wisdom and the wife. And so the wisdom itself becomes a crown to a man. But also a wise woman becomes a crown. Said, you know, so she's my trophy. No, that doesn't feel good, does it? We don't like that. How about if a wife thought of herself as a trophy, or as rottenness? That's what it says there. Shame and rottenness. You say, is that demeaning? I mean, the whole idea of this trophy wife, that's kind of demeaning and it's kind of an ugly thing. But this is what he's talking about, is the crown. It actually lifts him up. A wife that doesn't want to lift up her husband has a problem. I'm just telling you right there. A wife that wants to bring her husband lower, I don't know why, maybe to lower than her, there's something. And I've seen women, they make fun of their husband. They mock him. They ridicule him. They say things about him. I don't think it's funny. I think it's kind of like the New Testament talks about this. How would we affect our own flesh that way? We're to be one. And why would we attack the part of us? Man, I hate my right. I'm left-handed. I hate my right side. My right side is just stupid. I think I'm going to cut my hand off. Well, you're like, that's really weird, wouldn't it? You say, what's wrong with you? Well, this is kind of what we find in this thing is this. The Bible says she's a crown to him. So that's what the Bible says. It says there, verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. So, Ladies, is it derogatory to crown your husband? No, it's actually saying that a virtuous woman does it. That's what she does. She kind of, if I say this, and I don't know if these are the right phrases, but I'm trying to, she kind of, in some sense, completes him or elevates him. Right? I was talking to somebody just this week. I said, listen, my ministry would be, throughout my whole life, would be nothing like it is without my wife. Without her, my ministry would be nothing like it is. It would be, I don't think of it as my ministry. I think of it as our ministry and my family as far as that goes. But to say this, this is the role. And I don't think we need to be afraid of that being what God, this is what God says. It's a wonderful place. We're doing what God wants us to do. So number four, for a man to find wisdom is to find favor of the Lord. I got the wrong little symbol there, but it's chapter 8 and verse 35. That's what we just said there. For whoso findeth me, we're talking about wisdom there, whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So the same is said of the wise wife. Look at chapter 18. Chapter 18 and verse 22. Whoso findeth, what is that word? Wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So, look here. What we find then is that there's this elevation of, and it's something that he would say. He said, listen, if you find a wise wife, you found favor of the Lord. So where do I find favor of the Lord? Now, it's not the only place, but I'm just saying it's a shame that some folks would think that Christian or even Baptist, but even Christian folks would treat women derogatory, because that's not how the Scripture treats them at all. It actually elevates. As a matter of fact, value is compared to wisdom. Look at chapter 8 now. Chapter 8 and verse 11. It says, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So yet so it is with the wise wife. Back in chapter 31, I know we're flipping about a lot back here, but it's all over, and that's what I want us to see. This is the chapter 31 and verse 10. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Wow. I'm just saying, we see this. We're going to save the rest of this for next week. But what we see over and over in the Scriptures, it's really quite an amazing thing. What Proverbs speaks of wisdom, he personifies in a wise woman. Right? I mean, so this is what it would look like, and this is what it looks like. And so it's quite an interesting parallel that we find this, what a wise woman is. And so what does that mean to us? What's the application for that? We're going to get to the second half of this next week. But the application of that is this. Pass this on. You say, I'm not going to be able to be a wise woman. Right? But you know what could be passed on is you ought to seek a wise woman. You want to have favor? Don't just get some girl that's available. One that, man, we really like to, play pickleball together. You say, that's already kind of strange. No. But there's something here that God said, that's where we're going to find favor of the Lord. That's where there's a value in a wise woman. So for the women, and maybe say, it's like, you know what? That's what I want to be. I want to be a crown to my husband. It sounds weird. It's a weird thing. We're like, man, I don't know if I want to be, you know. But this is really what he's talking about. This thing is being in that right place is a wonderful thing. Wonderful. And it's a beautiful picture of what God wants us to be. And there's nothing. But we're going to look at next week, there's an alternative. And the alternative is the foolish woman. And it's not quite as lovely. The foolish woman does all the opposite. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll dismiss. Father, we're thankful for your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we pour over these Proverbs and this wisdom that you've given us, this wisdom that you've instructed us in. And Lord, as we look to these things, that we might really understand what it is that you want us to be. Lord, we can develop a lot of our ideas, a lot of our thinking based on the world system. But Lord, tonight we want to see what you want us to be. Lord, help us to desire to be in that direction and to be and to desire those and to encourage others in this way. Lord, help us to have a godly worldview. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's be dismissed.